continue on this path. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, right? And we used words that were like words like radical. We talked about words like subversive. And really, as you start to apprehend this, when you see these places in Scripture where Jesus pops up on the scene, and whether he's in this city healing people or he shows up in this the temple, the synagogue, you're like, wow. It starts to like, we start to get an awareness of like what's really happening in their hearts and minds, right? So I've been focusing on this place in Matthew 5 through 7, which I think is like a sweet spot where Jesus is unveiling the kingdom of God, right? It's where we talk about the Sermon on the Mount, right? So we're all on the same page here that there's only two kingdoms, right?
Yes.
Only two kingdoms. Let's keep it real simple. There's the kingdom of God and this other one.
Right.
Call it the counterfeit one. You can call it the kingdom of the enemy.
Yep.
Satan's place, dark place, whatever. There's only two.
Right?
Okay, we got that. Right? Now, Jesus is coming and saying, you've been incubated in this other one, in the counterfeit one. All we know, all our bodies have been taught, it's muscle memory, actually. We've been taught to react to fear. That's all we know is kill or be killed kind of activity, right? And in fact, our whole thinking is very self-centered, right? Fear does that. That's why we get offended so easily. That's why we that's why we get ashamed and feel guilty. That's why we get angry, right? It's like this, here's my personal bubble, and I want to manage it and control it. Everybody else stay away. If you're messing with my bubble space, I'm going to get in your face. Right? That's what fear does. Right? So one of the things I was thinking, like, how do you know if Jesus says the kingdom of God's here, right now, it's here now. This isn't we're also clear, this doesn't come when you die, right? Jesus said it's here now, right? It's here now. Am I saying to you that there's not more? Right? Is there, like, what happens when I die then, Danny? I'm not saying there's not heaven. I'm not saying, right? But can you imagine when I get to heaven that influence of this other kingdom totally disappears? Right? There's no influence, there's no activity of fear in my life ever again. Right? Heaven is perfect love, so fear can't be there.
Hence no tears or sadness.
No, right? So that's what Scripture's talking about. There's no influence of the other kingdom. None. None. Okay? So there is more. But Jesus says, he tells us, while that's here, you can break free from that and learn to walk in love now.
Right.
Scripture gives us this understanding of walking. It tells us. It talks about glory to glory. It's talking about this increasing freedom of walking in him. Like, right? Where this doesn't have that influence or control on your life, right? So if you wonder, how am I doing? How are you doing in this walking in his kingdom, right? There's simple things you can begin to kind of ask yourself. Okay, think of a conflict or a problem like cancer, right? Or maybe it's some other pain that's in your body or in your family. Or some other kind of crisis. Maybe it's a career thing or just a life event with family thing, right? And we have this thought, what do I do about it? What do I do about this? And then we have this argument in our mind that says, well, what can I do about it? And when we think about something like cancer, if we feel like there's nothing that can be done, I'm just going to die now. Go ahead, Don.
For us, the word die doesn't exist.
There we go. Okay? So, because here's what happens. When we get confronted with complex, crazy hard, crisis situations, how do we react to them? Right? This isn't a litmus test for anybody. It's just a self-pondering thing for you. How do you react to it?
Right.
Do I approach those things and say, this isn't the problem. God can take care of this.
Right.
Right? I'm so comfortable in his perfect love, I'm so aware and sure of his goodness to me, right, that this has no, this doesn't dictate my life here, this problem, okay? The Bible uses a language that talks about our freedom and chains being broken, right? It talks of, it's, there's someone there that says, he who is free indeed. What are we being freed from? Okay? What are we being freed from? You ever thought about that?
Right.
When Scripture talks about your freedom and the celebration of your freedom, we're breaking away from that other kingdom, right? The influence it has on us. So when we find ourselves, and I'll just say for me, when I get confronted with things like I see somebody at work and they're limping, I know I've got an answer to this for them, right? Do you know what I end up doing, though? I debate, is now the right time? Should I really talk to them? I don't want to embarrass them. And I end up negotiating with myself and saying, there'll be another time. Or, God, you know, God, heal them. But I don't confront it. I really don't. So I believe for me, this is for Danny, it's a picture of me that I'm still have a foot in this other camp. Right? I'm still learning that, my God, I want to walk. I don't want any fear controlling me. Okay.
Right.
So, anyway, when we talk about the kingdom of God, Jesus knows these things that are tentacles in your life. He knows that there's these governmental voices, these schoolhouse voices, these church voices that, in some cases, keep you tethered, tied to this other community, this false kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows that. And we're learning to identify them and break free of them. Right, so our journey in life is to mature, to see that for what it is, a lie or an untruth, right? And he says, here's your response to it. So one, don't beat yourself up that you're not, quote, perfectly walking in this. Jesus says, don't do that. Paul tells, most of Paul's letters are telling you, quit beating yourself up. Boom, just look to Jesus and remind yourself what he has for us, remind yourself of what is true, and we learn to walk out of that.
Right.
So this whole progression in Matthew 5, where we're learning, we're walking through the Sermon on the Mount and this introduction of kingdom, Jesus is talking about these things. Okay, so in this progression, same series, like we put all those Beatitudes, the blessed are this, and then he gets into some relational things. He talks to us about marriage. He talks to us about lust and infidelity. He talks to us about how we deal with anger and our enemy, you know, people that tick us off. I almost said piss us off. People that, right? Oh, yeah, I did say it, didn't I? So Jesus is telling us this. Look, these are real things. These are real conflicts.
Right.
And you know what? They're like a pyramid of things that are like the jingle puzzle. They're like, these are hard points that he's saying, I know we're going to be a challenge to you of do you respond with this kingdom or this kingdom?
Right.
That's what he's confronting. He knows that's what life has done to us, right? So there's this interesting set of scripture in this piece of Matthew chapter 5 I found interesting. Okay? I remember when I was a kid, when you were like, I promised to do that. And you would say to your friends, cross my heart,
yeah.
Hope to die.
Hope to die.
Remember that? Cross my heart, hope to die.
Stick a needle
in
my eye.
Cross in my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Right?
Yeah.
Ever do those things? Remember those?
Yep.
And, you know, they're like, I swear. I swear. And I always got in trouble when I said swear. My mom would like, don't you ever. It's like, I'm not saying bad words, Mom.
Yeah.
But there's something about, there's this thing, a swear, you know, and swear in my mother's grave.
Yeah.
Right. And, like the courts, right.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still swear on the Bible?
Yeah.
I don't think they do.
Like the what?
Like on the Bible in court.
Swear.
You know, swear to tell the truth, portray on the Bible. Remember that? And
yeah.
So, it's like, what are we doing? Oh, I remember like when Chris took federal office, you know, we went to a swearing-in ceremony, raise your hand if I defend the Constitution, and right? What are we doing? It's like we're making, we're saying this thing. It's like this vow I'm making. I'm going to add credibility to my words.
Right.
Somehow making my words stronger. Okay? Interestingly, Jesus has something to say about us making vows and swearing. I swear. Right? Now, it's interesting because in the Old Testament, there's a lot of vows, swearing events, where it's like, do this or else. I swear to do this, or this is the punishment. There's a bunch of them, right? So, Jesus comes on, and he makes this radical statement about this, and I want to say what I think it means, okay? He says this in Matthew 5, right? So, we're still in the Sermon on the Mount. We've gone into these relational things. He said, this is the kingdom of God, what it looks like. And he says this, you have heard it said, remember we talked about this last week, you have heard it said before, they've told you this somewhere, home, church, you've heard it said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, don't swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by earth, for it's his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you can't make one hair white or black, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no.
Right.
For whatever is more than these is from the evil one.
Wow.
I'm thinking, what?
A lot of words.
What does that mean, right? So, look, when we make this vow, our solemn promise. We're often saying before God, right? There's like we've got this divine, heaven is my witness now, that my future behavior is going, right? It's going to be controlled by this vow right here. I'm making a declaration into my future. In the old days, it was like we said these things and it was like this binding statement. This is what I'm going to do. Okay, but Jesus said that this isn't to be so in his kingdom. Right. So, under the new covenant, when we talk about the new covenant, Dee's going to teach on it sometime. Right. Everybody go, yay, Dee. Right.
Oh, Dee, go.
Dee's going to teach on the new covenant sometime. So when we talk about the new, when I say the word new covenant, For me, and I'll just simplify it, it's describing this thing that governs this new kingdom,
right?
The kingdom of God, right? Here's how it's like the rule set for the kingdom of God, okay? So Jesus says in this new covenant, the thing that governs us is the Holy Spirit, right? And we're our compilation. The thing that drives us is your benefit. The thing that drives us is this other-centered, right? My love for you, my sense of making you better, you stronger, you whole, you healed, right? So the thing that is my driving consideration is you. And it's like this self-sacrifice, this self-giving love. And God says, just stay in that place, right? So the key, when we look at this thing, the first off, he says, at the end of that whole statement, the other yes, yes, he says, for whatever is more than that, yes and no, is from the evil one. Now, I grew up in a Bible-believing evangelical home, right?
Awesome.
And I can tell you, that we can use that to our advantage to manipulate people, right? So if somebody doesn't agree with me, I can find a Bible verse that says, you are wrong, and I'm going to make you feel bad for being wrong. You left my church and went to the wrong church, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God that you're running away from God when you do that. I'm going to show you that that whole progression of not listening to me, you're going to end up in hell. Right? And so we do this. So again, pick your church flavor, pick your theology, pick your Bible interpretation. Right? We I'm going to use this church understanding and tell you how wrong you are. Now, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
I also grew up after that in a charismatic environment.
Oh, boy.
Okay? And Darla was the one who brought me into that. All right? So now, I remember when she starts talking about Holy Spirit, by the way. And I remember she's Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. She's telling me all. And I said, what are you talking about? I never heard about Holy Spirit growing up. I literally didn't. I did not. She's talking about the Holy Spirit as this real today person in my life, speaking to me, leading me. I'm thinking, what are you talking about? I've got a Bible here, and here are the verses. And right? Any case, I grew up in a charismatic circle. There's a value for things like the prophetic,
right?
So the prophet gets in front of you and says, I have a word from God. Yes, God said, and so, and the weight of that is, so you better listen. Because God said, right? God said. Or sometimes it gets real personal. God told me to tell you.
Right.
And what it is I just put you on alert that whatever comes next, you had better listen. You had better listen to this.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi. Right?
Hi, Jerry.
So, right? And then if you don't listen to it, there's something they could actually put on you and said, in fact, you have this bad spirit on you, or you have this.
Right.
Remember some of the links like Jezebel spirit? That's funny. I joked about that yesterday. So, what are we doing? We're like, in all those situations, we're using God as this trump card that says, I need to stop this argument, and I need you to think like me. Right? We're actually, you know what we're actually doing? We're actually coercing people. We're actually manipulating people. It's a control thing of like, look, I need you to be like me. Right? I need you to be like that. And when I throw out the God said, or I pull out a Bible verse that says, you're doing it wrong because I'm right here, we're actually, our goal is to dominate you. Our goal is to manipulate you. Our goal is to intimidate, to control you. So here's a word, believe it or not, and I don't say it to be scary. You know what word used to describe that whole collective of intimidation, domination, manipulation?
Witchcraft.
She got it right there. Witchcraft. Isn't that bizarre? It's like, now, I don't say that to be like, she is like 100% spot on. That's the word that describes this desire to manipulate and control you, right? So here's a verse for you. Paul writes it to the Galatian church. It's interesting. Remember, we're on this theme of we're understanding the kingdom of God, okay? We're learning how to walk in that kingdom of God, break free. Chains, break free from this other rule of thought, fear-based, self-centered, right? He says, the acts of the flesh are obvious, Paul writes. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, right? He says, I warn you, and by the way, do you remember the progression we did in Matthew 5 when he's talking about those hard spaces in life that are going to challenge you in thinking in this new kingdom? What were they? Idolatry and sexual immorality and right? Relational things, same ones, and then he gets into this other one, and that activity of believing you can control people.
Right.
He says, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, I warn you as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit what?
The kingdom of God.
He says, look, if you continue to try to live your life that way and manipulate, deceive people, try to control the activity against you, right, isolating yourself, you'll never get to live in this freedom here that Jesus has. He's telling you about this one that's dominated, controlled by love and other-centeredness, right? Look, it sounds, when we appeal to the Bible, the God said, or this verse, it sounds like righteous, right? It sounds like, oh, well, he's the preacher. He's the priest. He's the deacon. He's the whatever. I better listen or something bad's going to happen. It sounds good, but look. Jesus is telling them, and this is what makes it so radical in this place of Scripture. He says, stop it. Stop manipulating people, right? Stop trying to control them, right? And that's why he says, and we read it earlier before that, we get that sequence of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, look, I told you, it's about going beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Remember that statement? Mm-hmm. Going beyond that, we're gonna act totally different from what you've been told. Mm-hmm. Go beyond that if you want to inherit. If you want to live life this way, right? We're talking about breaking free from those control mechanisms, right?
And didn't you start out this with the difference between going to heaven?
Yeah.
And living in this kingdom. So many people will read that as, oh, you won't go to heaven.
Right.
Right. But we're talking about, that's not what this is about. Jesus, we're learning two kingdoms.
Right.
We're learning this other one is almost like a lock on your mind, a lock on your heart. Think this way. And it's based on punishment. If you don't, you're going to bad things, right? So we're locked in this thing by guilt, condemnation, right? None of that. Jesus says none of that is what this is about, this kingdom of heaven, right? None of my kingdom operates that way, okay? And usually, by the way, when you see a preacher who does what God said and he's doing, and you feel like that guy's trying to like get, this is a whole other coffee time. Come talk to me, because I've got so many experiences in my life of preachers doing this to me. Where I feel so guilty, so ashamed, it's like, okay, I better get in line with what he just said.
Right.
And all of it's divorced from my personal connection with Jesus. It's
right.
Like, no, I'm realizing I'm not saying what you're saying.
Right.
And that makes you afraid.
Right.
Right? So almost all the time when that happens, usually the leader, it doesn't have to be church, by the way. It
right.
may be a boss.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually when you see somebody, or a lover. Family member that they want to control you,
almost always, deep inside,
they're hurting. Deep inside, there's a wounded person that was hurt, offended, rejected, abused, abandoned in some form.
Right.
And so they feel out that, whatever it is, they feel out of control. So I need to control, I feel out of control, I need to control you. That's their way of managing their own fear.
Right.
Rather than deal with what's hurting.
Right.
And then what they do is like, so I need you to all agree with my fear space, my bubble of life. You need to agree with that way. And, oh, by the way, I'm never going to let anybody in here. I'm going to put up all the defenses and all the walls and not let you in.
Right.
Nobody gets in this space. And we've learned as we go on this journey, the one space Jesus wants into to heal
right.
us, that one. Right?
Yeah.
Can you see how we get, when we say those things, he says you'll never inherit this. It's not a promise of your future.
Right.
It says, you're basically saying, as long as I hold on to that and nobody gets in my heart, he's saying, you'll never live in this space. You'll never enjoy peace, freedom, grace, peace, joy, love.
Right.
You'll never experience that because you're demanding, right, to control that base, right? So Jesus is saying the only path to freedom here, right? We've gone through this whole thing. He's showing us this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Be careful of these trouble areas in your marriage and relationships and dealing with difficult people. Then he makes this statement about vows, right? And he says, look, the only way to get to this place of freedom, right? The only way to break free is that you would get to this place of receiving and enjoying God's unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
right? The whole purpose for Jesus showing up on the scene is that we would know this thing, you're loved. Jesus said, I came to show you this one thing. If you could just see, you're so loved.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel aware of that,
right.
He loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I trust him. It's like, okay, I'm going to let you into my hurt place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to let you in behind my defenses. I trust you, God. And we're learning. He says, look, let me go in there and let me heal that place. Right? And the more we learn to trust him and get healed here, then the more I give up my need to control people.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'm
filled. I'm safe. I'm okay. And I recognize all that manipulation and deceit is somebody else's own hurt. It's not me.
Right.
It's somebody else's hurt. Somebody else's offense. So following Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right, causes us, it challenges us to change this, change the way we think. Because everything
right.
about our upbringing, everything about culture, everything about, again, education system, political system, religious system, has been indoctrinating us into thinking this way, this counterfeit culture, to control and manage that thing. And Jesus says, look, to get free, we have to confront our thinking. We're going to think differently. And by the way, the language for that is called repentance.
Right.
That's all
right.
All repentance is,
right.
is that, hey, it's the challenge of what drives you. This one's driven by fear. Repentance is, wait, it's all about love.
Right.
I'm changing, the word is metanoia, the Greek word.
Right.
right. I'm changing this way, my way of thinking about this life. Right? So it's just, so it's totally countercultural.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know why Jesus rocked their world?
Right.
Because he's confronting this other culture. He ticked off the religious culture. He ticked off the government of the area because they're all about control. And Jesus is saying, be free from that. Right? So that's...
Scary.
And so he says, repent. Think this way. And by the way, if you want to know, when I asked you earlier, like, the litmus test, and how am I doing on this? Look, we generally don't do what we don't believe. So, if I want to know, like, why am I struggling with this? There's usually a belief issue. Oh, you don't believe this about yourself. Oh, you don't believe this about them. Oh, you don't believe this about God. Right? So there's usually a belief issue. That's what you ladies have been doing on Tuesday nights most of your time. Like,
right.
look, this is what's true.
Right.
Right? So we're challenging our belief system. Right? And when we get our belief system right, guess what gets right in line behind it? Our actions.
Right?
We end up, now we start the doing, the right? My beliefs lead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, I think I'm looking at my time. So after he says this, so you get this. When Jesus is saying about the don't swear, let your yes be yes, he's saying, look, you're trying, I talked to you about vows earlier, like you're trying to add weight to something, like another authority. I really, really, really mean this. Cross my heart. Hope to die. Okay? I really, really, really mean this. Jesus said, look, and he says, let your yes be less. He says, look, there's no other authority to appeal to. As we step into his kingdom, as we step into our oneness with him, this place, and he says, look, the one thing that drives us is love. Right?
Right.
Shame's gone. Guilt's gone. My whole operation, my whole reason for believing for miracles, praying
mm-hmm.
for the sick, is love.
Yeah.
My whole reason for telling people about Jesus is love, that they would
right.
they would see themselves free from this other kingdom, right? Just, it's purely love, right? Jesus is saying, look, I left you in charge. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he left, he said, he passed you the baton.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now go.
Right.
Go lead the world in these things. We call it the Great Commission.
Right.
He says, go, do these things. Tell the people this is what's true. When you're confronted by these challenges, pray this way. When you see the sick, pray for their healing. Right? He's telling them, this is your commission. Go. You're in charge. I've given you the authority to act like me, to walk like me, to talk like me, to pray over those things. When Jesus, before he goes to the cross, by the way, in John 15 through 17, right in that area, he's praying before the Father, and he says, oh, that they would get it, that they would see that they get the same privileges that I do with you as Father. I'm showing them this is what a son how a son lives before the Father.
Right.
This is how a son takes authority in his Father's name. Right? So you have authority. So Jesus says, why he tells you, quit appealing to other authorities.
Right.
You've got it. Go love people. So stop it. Stop the nonsense of the vows and the things, because all we know through vows and oaths and things is fear, manipulation, control. It's like, no, that's what he says. Let your yes be yes. Just show them this is what love looks like. No more manipulation through religious performance or rules. Interestingly, do you remember this? Remember that one? And I'll space hyperspace a little bit here. Remember this one? Because right after he talks about the oaths and vows, don't do that. He says, you've heard it said. You've heard it said. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, resist the evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also.
Don't resist.
Right. Right. Yeah, tell you not to resist an evil person. Right. Excuse me. If anyone wants to sue you and take you out your tunic, let him have it. Let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go 2. Right? Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, don't turn away. What's he saying? Be a pansy? No. No, right? But he is saying, look, there's a culture he's talking to right now who they live by oaths.
Right.
They live by, you did this, then this is the consequence.
Right.
And, you know, you killed my one family member, I kill all yours. Right? And so Jesus says, stop. Because first off, he says, look, you're violent, and all you want is to retaliate. So, one, knock that off. And two, he tells them, it's so perverse, it's so twisted, and even the church is behind it. You're escalating the violence. Stop. And then he tells them, look, it's actually more of a systemic problem. They don't get grace.
Right.
Yeah. Right? They don't get grace. It's like this, remember what I told you a couple weeks ago, I think? It's like if love is the counter to fear, the counter to sin, and by the way, sin is that mindset,
right,
that thinking of wrong belief about my identity, about who I am, because I'm so confused by my identity, I act out of fear, I do stupid, right? The counter to sin is grace. Because grace is that trajectory, that power, the influence, divine influence that says, look, we can break you free of that thinking. So grace is the activity of breaking you out of that sin thinking. Wrongful mindsets, right? It enables you to live in kingdom. So grace says, break that chain, boom. Another chain, break that chain, go. Right? So we're learning to free ourselves from this false understanding and live this way. Grace is that enabler to do that, right? So he says, you don't understand what this is, right? So this subversive radical Jesus on the hillside telling these people, look, it's all been about living in kingdom, right? So he's wrapping up his powerful sermon to them, right? He talks to them in the Sermon on the Mount. This is the state of what it looks like to be in kingdom. These are the things that are going to challenge you, and you're going to be prone to picking up old mindsets. You're going to be challenged by governmental religious influences. And he says, stop, stop, stop.
Yeah.
Right? You've heard it said. I'm telling you. Right? So we're learning these things. Stop controlling and manipulating people. Right? Get this, soak in this thing called his love. We learn him to let him into our private places, all the boundaries and defenses we set up so we can be healed. Then we learn what we're learning really is how to give this away.
Right.
Right? Jesus tells us this. The word of God is alive and powerful. This is Hebrews 4:12. Alive and powerful. Sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. We're learning. We're not. We're learning to see life differently. Okay? There's two kingdoms.
Right.
A false one, a counterfeit kingdom, right, driven by fear. And his kingdom, it's totally it's ridiculous love. Right? Swarming love. We're learning how to how to move from this kingdom to this kingdom. Jesus said, and here's how you do it. He introduces himself in John 1:1. He said, in the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was
God,
right? So we're learning. We pick up our Bibles and we beat people over the head with it and say, here's my rule set. You broke it. And Jesus has said, who's the Word? In the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus is telling you, you've not been seeing me in the Word. I'm the Word. He shows up on the scene, and John 1 says, I'm your Jesus glasses for understanding Scripture. So when you get confused and you start to pick up your Bibles and beat people over the head, he says, no, look to Jesus. Right? Jesus says he's the perfect representation of the Father. Anything, right? He only says what the Father is saying. He's only communicating heaven's story. Right? Every rule, every life practice comes from the Father. Right? You want to understand what Scripture's saying, don't pick up the Scripture and say, yeah, but. It says here that I get to cook your children or something because you did something. I get to beat you up or I get to hurt somebody because you did it wrong.
Right.
Jesus says, wait, look to Jesus. What did Jesus do? Just look to Jesus. You want to understand Scripture? Jesus, he's the Logos. That's the word for I'm the Word. Right? I'm the Logos. Look to Jesus and say, okay, how do I interpret? How do I do life? How do I react? How do I respond? You have one. He's the one who came to show you how to live like a child before the Father. And he calls you his kids.
Right.
You're my son. You're my daughter. And we look to Jesus, right? So I think I'll stop there, right?
No.
It's just getting gooder.
I mean, look, this whole thing, it's like if you cherry pick Scripture, you can tell whatever story you want to tell.
Right.
You really can.
Yeah.
Everything collapses to Jesus. That's why you showed up, by the way. Everything, Old Testament looks hard in some places. Because, like, God looks bipolar, I've told you. He looks mean and angry in the Old Testament. And then we live over here, and that's all sudden. But yet, Scripture says he's never changed.
He never changed.
Right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We know that he's the same. So God, the same one, I'm telling you, perfect goodness. All he can do is love. Then how do I reconcile? So, just Jesus. And I would challenge you that when you're stuck in Scripture, don't throw away Scripture ever. I'm not telling you discard this or don't believe that. I'm telling you Jesus interprets Scripture.
Right.
So I say pick up your Jesus glasses. And when we get confused, we ask Holy Spirit, help me be unconfused. But I don't have to create two pictures of God.
Right.
I don't have to create two understandings. Right? And Jesus, when he says he has fulfilled the law, I don't get the privilege of picking up hard scriptures and say, well, this one says I get to beat you. When Jesus says, just love them.
Right.
Love the stuffing out of them. So I'll stop there, but I thought that was intriguing.
Yeah.
I thought that was intriguing.
No kidding. We have cliffhanger.
I thought it was intriguing on the vows.
Yeah.
Like, why did Jesus say this in this progression of the kingdom? Talk to me about swearing and vows. Right? And so we're learning. It's like, look, we've used those things to intimidate people. We've used those things. In some cases, we're actually letting it control us. Because I'm afraid of a consequence, right? And to make you feel weaker, I'm going to appeal to God, and then therefore I have more authority. It's like, you know. By the way, you have the same authority as me. You have the same authority as pick whoever your Christian religious figure is, whether that's the Pope or whether it's the pastor at your local church or the head of a denomination. It's like, don't put them on a pedestal higher than you. He gave you the same authority. God didn't make you a weaker believer. He didn't make you substandard. He gave every single one of us the authority and the privilege to speak his words, to pray for the blind eyes to be opened. And by the way, that means little kids too.
Right.
Right? It's not, oh, but I've never been to Bible school, or I haven't been to seminary, or I've never been whatever. I don't find that anywhere in here, by the way. That's not to say that they're of no value.
Right.
I appreciated my time at seminary. It's like, wow, God, I'm starting
right,
to
right.
see Scripture differently, and I appreciate the
yeah.
strength of it, right? But it's not a qualifier. And oh, by the way, it's not a qualifier that you've been in church for 30 years or you've been in church for 30 days.
Right.
You have the same strength, the same authority. Now, you may not have the same maturity.
Right.
You may not have the same confidence, perhaps. Maybe you have more. Sometimes church makes us weak because we're so convinced that I can't. We've been taught wrong for so long. But here's a story. Sorry, I'll tell one story. That's not. Right. So there's this a guy by the name of Bob Johnson, and he ministers in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob's a street minister. And he takes people out. He's got a very strong ministry. And he believes, just like these things we're talking about, God said, heal the sick. We're going to pray for the sick to be healed. And he would show up in San Francisco. And people were so familiar with Bob's ministry, they would show up and say, can I be a part of this tonight? And so it was
teams of people.
He had teams. People would come up. And sometimes all they would do is they would have mobile vans and they would wash the hair of the homeless people. Or they would bring food. I mean, they're doing practical things, but also going out in the street and just saying, wow, can I pray for you? Kinds of things. Or seeing people that are hurting. And so they're in San Francisco and doing different types of ministry in the street, loving people. And there's a homeless guy there, and they're ministering to him. And he's, I don't remember the guy's name in the story, but, you know, this homeless person is totally like, wow. I mean, something happened right there, like he felt so loved. And when they prayed with him, and he said, can I hang out with you? And they said, sure.
Wow.
I'll say his name's Joe, just for the story. That's
right.
Joe. So Joe hangs out with them that night. And they're going, and he goes with this group. And they're going to pray. They come across this person who's clearly tormented.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the issue. I don't remember if it was a mental issue or a physical issue, but they're praying for this thing to go.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Oh, by the way, so Joe received Jesus. Joe says, I want this in his life earlier that night. So they're praying for this person. Nothing's happening. Nothing. They say, well, you pray. Can you pray? Dave, will you pray for me? You know, Willie, will you pray? Nothing's happening. And Joe, the guy, the homeless guy who had just... Right? He says, can I try? And they said, just watch. And he just, you know, the hour before met Jesus. Didn't even, right? And they said, and so finally they're ministering to this person, nothing's happened. And they're like, God, this doesn't make any sense. And Joe, can I try? And they said, sure. I said, sure, Joe. Sure, Joe. And this, I hope this doesn't offend you. I thought it was funny. Joe sees them putting hands and praying for the person. And so he puts his hands on the person. And he turns and says, who are we praying to again? I thought that was hilarious. And they said, and they went like this. Jesus, Joe, it's Jesus. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he says, Jesus, I'll say, heal her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Instant. And I thought, when I heard that story, it pierced me.
Right.
Because I thought, we're so used to,
mm-hmm.
wait a second, I have to do my time in the church.
Right.
I haven't been to church enough. I haven't studied. I haven't been to Bible study. I haven't paid or done my whatever. I haven't paid into the system to earn the right to even do that. And Joe, who knew Jesus, you know, that evening only, I thought, wow, God, it's the prodigal son. It's like, you know that before you ever said yes to Jesus, before you ever said, I want more, before you ever said, this is the journey I want to be on, whatever your condition in life was, however confused, lost, I don't care what you did. You were a prostitute, you're a drug dealer, you're a loser. Jesus, God looks at you and said, that's my son.
Right.
He has never not said that about everybody.
Right.
That's my son. Jesus, God, Father, has never been confused about who you are.
Right.
You know who's confused?
We are.
We are. That lying belief system that's called sin that says you don't know who you are. You don't believe you're a son. We can't even fathom that we could be. And so when we say, wow, I am his son, it's like immediate inheritance. It's like immediate family presence. I'm in. There's no, fine, go feed the pigs for the next year and prove to me that you're family.
Right?
What did the father say to the son when he came home? Put a robe on, put a ring on, and said, wow. It's like, let's have a party. My son is here. Immediately acceptance into the family, like your family. Man, that's what we're waking up to. I mean, it's like, the thing is, we're waking up, this veil is being lifted on our eyes, and we're saying, I'm his son. Right? When you realize that, I'm his son, I'm loved, that's the revelation of your father. Your father. Your Lord. Right? That's the revelation. That's why we can look at the thief on the cross and
right.
go, he didn't go to church. He didn't pray the right prayer. He didn't get baptized. He didn't, right? But he goes, I know who you are. I know who you are. Right? That's the revelation.
Right.
And instantly, it's like, authority's yours.
Right.
Now go be a son. So this whole journey in life is learning to be a son. Right? That's what we're waking up to. So we don't appeal to other authorities. We don't appeal. It's like, look, you're a son. You're in the family. What's there else to appeal to?
Right.
Let your yes be yes. You're a son.
So,
don't have to cross my heart, hope to die, stick an eagle in my eye. All right. Father, thank you. Thank you that we're waking up to how much you love us. We're starting to see kingdom. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, rock our world so much that we just want more of you. We want to live in this stream that you call the kingdom of heaven. God, so break away all offenses, break away all unbelief, break away all barriers, break every chain, God. We say freedom in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.